Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you that we can gather together in your name this morning, that we can meet with you, that we can worship with you, and God, that we can just approach your throne of grace with confidence. So God, we just want to give you the rest of this time together. God, may you just speak through me. May it be your words that we hear, speaking directly to our hearts. Use me in my weakness. And God, we pray for the kids as well, that as they're out at Sunday school, that the lesson that is planned for them, God, might just touch their hearts, and that they might just come to know you in such an amazing, life-changing way. And God, that prayer is the same for us, that you will just transform us into your beautiful children. In your awesome name, amen. So last week, Johnny shared on why serve. And I think it must have been that I wasn't supposed to hear it. Because last week I was at Sunday school, and all week we've been unable to access it. For whatever reason, it didn't burn properly. If you were expecting to listen to it online, I apologize, but it will not be online because it was not recorded properly. And just sometimes technology doesn't work. So I was fishing around all week for Johnny's notes to try to figure out what he said, to see he did the how, he did the why, and so this week we're doing the how. But I needed to know the why in order to share the how. And so I found his notes finally. Somebody had so graciously recycled them, so I could fish them out of the recycling bin. And I think I've got the gist of what Johnny said last week. And it is really ultimately Philippians 2. Why should we serve? Because Christ came to serve. And as his children, as his followers, we should be imitating Christ. And Paul so eloquently writes, you know, be imitators of Christ, who in his very nature became a servant. That's a very brief paraphrase of Philippians 2. But it's that servant. So why should we serve? Because Jesus served. This morning, we're going to look at how should we serve. If the Son of God came to serve and not be served, then surely those who claim to follow him must do the same. But how? Well, if we look at that passage in Philippians that Johnny shared with you last week, in humility is a huge thing. And this week in your reading, your not daily readings, but your weekly readings that we're going through as a church, you'll have seen a number of passages. And there are many more than just those three passages that were listed for this week's meditation readings. But we're going to look in particular in Romans. And Romans chapter 12. Paul is writing to the individuals within the body, recognizing that when we become members of the family of God, when we accept Christ into our life, when we accept the grace that has been given to us, and we say, I am choosing to follow Jesus, we become a part of God's family. And when you are once a part of God's family, you are no longer just an individual looking out for yourself, because you have brothers and sisters around the world that are your family. And so you begin to have to look out for them. So as Paul's writing in Romans, especially in chapter 12, he's recognizing the fact that one cannot separate themselves once they are drawn into the family of God. When you're in, you're in. You're no longer an outsider. You're no longer an individual. So we have to be mindful of those around us, because once we're in, we don't get to be selfish anymore. Now, I don't know about you, some of you, most of you here have had children. Now, when we had Maddie, as I was pregnant with her, and it was all about me and Johnny, life was me and Johnny. Well, I should go back further. Life was about me. And then suddenly there was somebody else to look out for. And it wasn't just me making the decisions anymore for me and what I wanted to do, even though I was following God and really striving to live like Christ. I had to incorporate Johnny. And then suddenly it's not just the two of us, because this little person is on the way. And when the baby comes, slightly different than once you get married, they are your focus. You don't have a chance to do anything else. There were many days that I don't even think I got to take a shower, because she was feeding constantly. And so your life revolves around this other person. But then, suddenly, they're no longer the only one. And their little lives have to figure out how to incorporate somebody else into the family, where mom and dad aren't their sole focus anymore, because there's this other little person who's taking up a lot of time. And then as they grow, they want to share their toys. But you don't want to share your toys. And you have to work on these dynamics. That's family. Working on the dynamics of how do we associate with each other? How do we relate to each other? How do we not be selfish with the things that we've been given and recognize that they're for all of us as a family to share these gifts? Salvation in our lives is the transforming power of Jesus. And our place in the family of God is the display in our lives of that transforming power of Jesus at work within us. We're moving from selfishness. Am I keep popping? We're moving from selfishness. I'm still popping. To selflessness. One or two letters, but a huge difference in that. Because when we're part of the family of God, our lives are no longer our own, but our lives are Christ in us. And Christ came to serve, not to be served. So how do we serve when we are members of the body of Christ? And Romans 12 tells us this. It shows us and paints us a beautiful picture of how service should look in the family of God. And it starts with Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul in Romans 12 talks about vocation versus job. There is a difference. A job, you go to work 9 to 5, or if you want to avoid the traffic from 8 to 4 or even 7 to 3. You avoid the, you know, but you have a job. You go to work, you come home, and you're no longer at work. That's a job. A vocation is your life. Some might use the word calling. Some might use the word life's work, mission, purpose, function. Whatever it might be, it is who you are. For Johnny and I, we are pastors. It is not our job. We don't clock off. Now, please do respect our day off. We do appreciate a little bit of time to be able to seek God. But it is our life. That is who we are.
I like my hands.
If I pop again, I'll use it. I have it now just in case. We'll leave it there. I'm a handy talker. But your vocation is who you are. That's your life's calling. That's what drives you. That's what gives you, ugh. And it might not be what your job is. You might have to do your job, your 9 to 5, whatever, to tick off to pay your bills. But your life's calling, what gives you that desires and your passions, that's what really motivates you to live life, is your vocation. And so Paul's making a difference between this, because as members of the body of Christ, as part of the family of God, as believers, as those who have said yes to Jesus, he's not just talking about this is what you can do on a Sunday morning and that you can tick your box and great, you've done it. He's talking about your life, all of it. Your passions. And what he's saying is, John Stott wrote it beautifully in this, that every individual within the body of Christ, their vocation is to be holy, committed, humble, loving, and conscientious people of God. That is our vocation. That is what Paul's talking about here in Romans 12, 1 to 2. In view of God's mercy, the grace that has been given to you, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. as part of the family of God, we have to recognize that within families we have relationships. I had to work out how to have a relationship with Johnny and incorporate him into my individual family. And then Maddie came along, and then Zeph, and then Faith, and now Tilly. We have to include a dog too. But you have these relationships, and you have to work them out. There has to be communication. There can't be an ignoring of an individual within the family of God. It's getting worse, isn't it? I'll turn this one off.
Is this one on now? There we go. So we have to work out those relationships. How do we work in the family of God? And so Paul addresses, beginning with our relationship to our Father, God, because that's where it starts. That's how we become a part of the family. And so Paul's relationship with God is offer your bodies as spiritual sacrifices. How do we serve? We serve God by acknowledging that our life is no longer our own, but it is His. He is our guide. He is the one who directs our paths. He is the one who gives us life. And so in service to Him, it's a denial of self and a dedication of our lives to Him. And we have to begin with how to serve by how do we serve our Father in heaven? How do we serve the one who gave us life? The one who has forgiven us of all of our sins. We serve Him by giving Him our lives in return. Worship, not just singing songs, that's an element of it. Not just giving our money as tithes and offerings, that's an element of it. But it's a daily sacrifice. You know, Jesus says, you have to take up your cross and follow Him. Paul reiterates that it is a daily denial of ourselves. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That is how we serve our Lord, is by giving Him our all. Every day, all day, at home, at work, at school, when we're at the shop, no matter what we do, it is in service to Him. Once we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, we then allow Him to transform us. But be transformed. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That again happens as we deny ourselves and allow Christ in. Allow Him to take over. When we spend time in prayer, when we spend time in His Word, when we spend time in service to other people, we are allowing Him to transform us, to not make us like the world any longer, but to transform us into His likeness, allowing Him to actually rewrite what the world has told us we need into what He has told us we need, what He has created us to be. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Giving up of me and allowing Christ to completely become my life. Salvation is radical. It is life-changing. When we begin to have that grace, when we receive that grace, we cannot stay the same. We have to change. And allowing Christ to transform our entire self through the renewing of our minds means that our service in relationship to God becomes our priority. Our lives become service by giving Him our life and our minds. Paul carries on with humble service in the body of Christ, starting in verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has many... For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Paul uses a few times in his letters the image of the body because it's something that we can look at. Each of us has a body. Each of us understands the importance of the different parts of our body. My hip has really been causing me problems. It affects the whole of my body and gives me not quite a good outlook for eating a hip replacement early in life, but hopefully not. But when something on your body doesn't function correctly, it's injured, it's whatever, your whole body faces a consequence of that function not working properly. Bodies make sense to us because we have them. Sore hips means that you might limp. You're walking, you can't walk as far. If your kneecap's not working, then kneeling doesn't work for you. Getting on the floor to play with your kids when your kneecap hurts, that's not a good thing. Rotator cuffs, you know, you can't move your arms. Okay, you might not be able to lift things. If your back goes out again, you need your body to be functioning properly in order to live life to its fullest. And that's the same as the body of Christ. We need each and every member of the body of Christ to be functioning at full capacity in order for the body of Christ to be functioning at full capacity. If one of us isn't there, then the body isn't complete. And the beauty in the body of Christ is that each and every one of us are unique and yet important. No member is more significant than another. We each have a role to play. Because we're all sinners saved by grace. When that grace changes our lives, we're all brought into the family, and it's not in a hierarchy. It's not, ooh, I've been a Christian for 50 years, so I'm at the top. I'm only a new believer, so I can't do that because I've only believed for a month. No. When you believe, you believe. When you're welcomed into the family of God, you're welcomed into the family of God. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter that. Because God gives each single one of us gifts that we can use to make the body complete, to fill the body. So how do we serve within the body of Christ? In humility. We allow Christ to transform us. And when we allow Christ to transform us, again in Philippians, then we become like Christ, who humbled himself and became a servant. If I read Johnny's notes right, he talked last week about Jesus actually washing the feet of his disciples. Those he came to serve, he humbled and did the least wanted job in the house, washing the dirty, crusty feet of his disciples. That thought petrifies me because I hate feet. But it might be cleaning the toilets. It might be doing something that really disgusts you. But it's having the heart to say, Jesus, whatever you ask me to do in your name, I will do. I will humble myself in order to serve your body, the church, more effectively. We recognize that we each individually have a part to play from the very youngest to the very oldest. Everyone has a role. Paul here mentions a few of the spiritual gifts, prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, mercy. These are just a few of the spiritual gifts that when we ask Jesus into our lives, when we accept the grace that he's given to us, his spirit comes and dwells within us. And his spirit gives us gifts. There's the fruit of the spirit. That's the recognition that God is living in your lives. You know, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are great. Those are like the fruit. Those are just the reactions of when the spirit is living within us. But there's also gifts that he gives to us. And each one of us has received gifts. And no one gift is better than the others. If you're interested in discovering your gifts, a few months ago we did the SHAPE ministry finding assessment, which is just, it's a test, it's not really a test, it's a thing that you answer all these questions and it kind of sorts out and helps you discover your spiritual gifts. Many of you haven't had the opportunity to do that. We're going to be doing it again. It's in your bulletins on the 4th of March. We're going to be having a spiritual gift assessment because every single one of us has gifts. We might not know them, But we need to learn them so that we can utilize them. And again, just allow the body of Christ to be in its fullness as God has created us to be. Because God brings out the best in each and every one of us. He gives us these gifts in order to edify his church, the body. In order to share the good news of Jesus Christ to the world, he imparts these gifts to us through his Spirit. He doesn't need us to make him better. But he uses us to show his goodness and his grace and his mercy to the world around us. He is perfect. And in his perfectness, he chooses to use our brokenness. And his strength gives us that ability to do great and amazing things in his name. No one is better than anyone else. Everyone has a role. Everyone has a gift. No gift is better than any other gift. Each one is needed in order for the body of Christ to function. But we have to use it. So how do we serve our church family? How do we serve the body of Christ? In humility, using the gifts that God has given us to edify and to build his church. Starting in verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who mourn. Rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How do we serve? More gifts have been listed there. But it all comes down to love. How do we serve? In genuine, Christ-like love. Sincerely, with discernment, devoted, selfless, enthusiastic, patient, generous, hospitable, in goodwill, sympathetically, harmoniously, humbly, but all in love. It all has to do in love. Love in action. The love that has been given to us, included us in the body of Christ, has to become our act of service. Because if we're not doing it for the right reasons, there's no point in doing it. If we're not doing it because we've allowed Christ to truly transform our very beings, to be a conduit of his love into the world, if we're only doing it because it sounds good or it makes us look good, then don't do it. Your heart's not in the right place for that. In Christ, in his love, we can serve each other, we can serve our community, we can serve our world. Practical ways here in this body that we can serve: encouragement cards. Most of you have got a directory. That's what it's called. It is a great tool. Joe, if you don't mind putting that picture up. Johnny and I, every day, look at that. That's you. If you're not on that picture, we need to get your picture on our wall. Because every day we look at that. That's right across from our desk. It's a little bit messy. That's normal, too. But that is our church family. This is our church family. As you're praying, look at the faces of your brothers and sisters. Pray for them. Ask God to point somebody out who might need a word of encouragement. A card and a note goes an incredibly long way. we pray for you. And that visual reminder is helpful. You've got one. Use it. Encouraging each other, visiting each other. If Johnny and I had to get around to every single person on that wall, it would take us the entire year to genuinely, truly spend time with each and every one of you. It's not down to just Johnny and I. We're all family. We all have that opportunity to serve each other by visiting, going out for a meal, having people around to your house for a meal, going out for coffee, whatever it might be, we all have that opportunity to serve each other that way. Mentoring, in your bulletin, you'll see a whole little thing about mentoring. Same there. Everybody has the opportunity to journey with each other in sharing their lives. Cooking, if cooking is your skill, see Fran. Once a month, we cook for Building Hope. It's a great opportunity. As we develop and grow as a church, there will be more opportunities to be able to use that skill. You know, that's just an easy one. Toddlers, did you know that on Tuesday mornings in the fellowship hall, it's covered with toys? And we have families, moms come from the local community to toddlers, and their kids play, and we sit and chat with them. 2 weeks ago, we had 20 people in the fellowship hall. Kids running around. It was chaos. It was lovely. But we were sat, and we were able to chat with these moms. If you have a desire to just chat and meet with local moms, let me know. And we don't get everybody at once. But come alongside. Come and chat. Come and build relationship. The bread run. We've got a number of families that come in. The ladies and the drivers who pick up the bread and sort the bread have a fantastic ministry. But you know what? We have room for more. Come early to church. Grab a cup of coffee. Sit at the table and see who comes in and who you might be able to chat to. Joy, another opportunity. Great group of volunteers who serve our older generation, not just of the church, but older generation who comes and be able to fellowship together. They're always looking for more hands. Extra hands never go amiss. You know, speak to Wilma. Sunday school, we've got an incredibly great rota of teachers and helpers for our kids. Vital to be able to give up a Sunday of every 2 months of sitting in church to actually be able to serve and teach our young kids the love of Jesus. Youth happens twice a month. Again, they'll never be short of hands. You know, they're always happy for more. You know, next Sunday, Johnny already shared, we're going to be sharing about more dreams for the church and ways that we can serve. And the ideas are endless. Right? The opportunities are endless because that's just what goes on here. There's opportunities to serve the people you work with, to serve your family, to serve your neighbors. You know, Johnny kind of mentioned the snow angel thing. There's opportunities. You just have to be open to them. And I think as this week, as I've been reading this whole passage, I just kept coming back to the first two verses. Every time I'd get further and I'm like, oh, that's great. All these gifts and oh, we're going to mention shape and all these different ways that we can serve because we like the practical. I'm practical. I like the practical, the list. This is what I can do. Great. Fantastic. I kept coming back to verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The good news of Jesus is too good to keep to ourselves. But unless we are allowing God to transform us, to open our eyes to opportunities to share his good news, to share his love, we're just doing it on our own will. We're just doing it for ourselves. We're doing it to make ourselves feel good. It doesn't mean that when you're serving God, you don't feel good, because you do, because you're serving God and you're in his will, and that's fantastic. But anybody can be good to be good. Anybody can help to help. But we've got something greater. We've got something amazing. And as we are transformed into his likeness, as we allow our minds to be so consumed with Christ, Our desire is to share the good news. And how does that look practically? That is in service of so many ways. Serving is sharing the good news. Serving is putting our faith into action in humility and in love. First to God, and then to each other, and to the community around us. Father God, first we are so thankful, so grateful that you showed us the way of servants by sending your Son to become a servant, to serve the least of those who lived in that day and age, God, to be able to see the evidence of what it means to put others first, to raise others up above ourselves, to get down on our knees and to wash feet. God, in humility, and God, as we were reminded this morning of from Paul, God, we just ask that you will truly transform us. Transform us into your children, to your sons and to your daughters, so consumed by you that we are just living lives of worship in service to you and to our brothers and sisters and to the world around us, God. That as we come to just so fall in love with you, that the world sees a radical transformation within the body because we are allowing ourselves to be transformed from the inside out. God, help us make our lives not about us, but about you. Help that grace that has forgiven each of us just flow through us. Become such a light that so many others will come to see of your grace and your mercy because our lives are just given over in service to you. God, that is our desire as individuals. That is our desire as a church, God, that we will just step out in faith, trusting you to lead us. Open our eyes to opportunities to serve. Open our hearts to opportunities to serve that might not be what we like, that might be out of our comfort zone, but that is in your will. God, we give you ourselves. We give you your church. It is all because of you. In your name, amen.